What's up, Keep It Real? We are back with another podcast, and I could not be more excited. My name is Ali Shinaki, and I'm your host and friend here at the Keep It Real podcast. For those of you guys that do not know, or those of you guys asking where our podcast has been and are we not having it anymore, we are, but the last couple of weeks I took off because me and my friends have a worship collective called Jaywalkers Worship, and we started in-person events last year in August, and ever since the Lord has been putting it on our heart to do different events. We had one in August, one in December, one in April, and then in our April event, the Lord called us to do a conference in September, which, if I'm just being real with you guys, seemed impossible, because how do we go from literally having only done 3 events in person to throwing on a conference with thousands of people? We were having like 300, 500 people, which we already thought was incredible and was blowing our mind. But thousands of people, God, how is this even possible? There's 12 of us. How can we do this? But instead of stepping out in fear, we decided to step out and take a step towards Jesus and what God was calling us to do in faith, trusting that if He put it on our heart to do it, that it was bigger than what we could do. It was something that He was going to do because His people needed a word and needed an outpouring and encounter in Orlando for such a time as this. And I'm so happy that we made the decision to not be led by what we felt in our flesh and in our emotion, but that we stepped into what we couldn't see in faith. Because man, did God move in a mighty way during that conference. And I'm not just saying this because we put it on. I have not been in a room of believers that unified, that diverse, that touched and wrecked by the Holy Spirit in I don't even know how long. And it had nothing to do with us and everything to do with what God can do if you are obedient and the way that He wants to encounter us and meet us and how one encounter with Him will change your life forever. And so today, I am so excited to be back, and I'm so excited because this first podcast that we have back, I'm going to be sharing with you guys the message that the Lord put on my heart to speak at the Jaywalkers conference on Saturday. It was my first time ever speaking, and the Lord, I'm telling you, this was not a word from me. I prayed about this. I got alone with the Lord these last couple of weeks, and He gave me a word straight from heaven for His people, not just in that room, not just for me, but all around the world right now, calling them to rise up, be the body of Christ. He's looking far and wide to strengthen the hearts of those fully committed to Him. That's what His word in our Bible says. And I believe He's looking at you right now and saying, will you be fully committed to me? Will you choose to follow me in faith and see what I can do that's above all you could ask, think, or imagine, because it is, I just lived it? Or will you choose to follow what you can see, what's temporary, what the world says is valuable, what they say? God wants someone all in. What will you choose? Let's get started with today's podcast.
God, you say in your word, in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Lord, tonight, God, we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Today, tonight, this whole entire day, God, here we are. We're here for you and you alone. It doesn't matter how we got here, God. It doesn't matter how we even thought that we got here. Whether we just came for a good time, God, we're here for you. God, you have an outpouring that I believe you have for your people, for me today, God. Here we are, Lord. We are hungering and thirsting, Lord. Satisfy us in a way that only you can. In a way that's not temporary like this world offers, God. God, we want something real. We need something real. We need you, God. Everybody just sing this one more time together. God, you have my attention. I want what you want. Come on, guys. Believe it for yourself. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, and I made my decision. Make the decision in your heart.
You're all that I want. Here I am. Here I am.
Have my attention.
I won't
Lord, we love you. God, we praise you. God, we give you glory. God, we walk out in our purpose, God, today, and we all give you glory. Come, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Man. Y'all, I'm going to be honest, okay? Everyone backstage, and I've been to a ton of conferences before, and morning sessions are a little scary because I'm not a morning person and neither are a lot of people. So I thought when I came out here, I was going to have to wake all of you guys up, but you guys were hungering and thirsting. When I tell you guys, I was literally backstage and the Lord flashed that verse into my eyes, into my brain, out of nowhere. And I was like, man, I didn't even remember I knew that existed. Y'all ever have one of those moments you're like, that was hidden in my heart and I didn't even know it? God did that today. And I believe it's because he is gonna satisfy us today. He has whatever you need. And the outpouring is here. The time is now for you to receive it. But your faith, like my dad said yesterday, is gonna be what accesses the plans that God has for you. Do you have the faith today? Decide, make your decision. It's up to you. So everybody, you guys can go back to your seats. But man, I'm just gonna tell you guys as you're walking back, the Lord has such a purpose over this conference. We felt the word purpose placed on our hearts as God was kind of creating this dream, this vision that he had for such a time as this. And what's cool about God is whenever he speaks, it says in his word that we're all one mind, one body. And whenever God speaks, he always confirms his word. And when I begin to prepare and ask God to really reveal to me what he had for this session in particular, and then I went and I listened to last night's messages, whether it was Granger Smith or Colby, God confirmed exactly what he wanted to say this morning. It is wild, the purpose that he has for this conference. When I tell you guys, you're just gonna hear, it is one mind, one body. The Lord is so evident and so moving here today. And I just pray and ask you guys, open up your hearts. This is something I always like to do. Whenever I go into any service, I just pray and ask God, intimately by myself, we don't have to all do it together, to remove any distractions. Whatever you came in here stressed out about, whatever your morning looked like, maybe you had car problems, maybe they made your Starbucks drink wrong because that's what happened to me. Leave that aside. Don't let the enemy rob 1 second of what God has for you today, because he's gonna try. But we anointed every door in here, so I know that the presence of God is in this place today. And where he is, victory is. So I am so excited for what he has in store. First off, I'm just gonna start with a little thing called imagine. Me and my best friend always call this imagine. We could call it imagining. But basically, I'm just gonna ask all of you guys to close your eyes, and I'm gonna paint a picture, and I want you guys to picture that you're where I'm telling you you are. So everybody close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, imagine this. Don't fall asleep on me, morning session. I'm serious. Imagine you're in your house, okay? You're in the coziest room in your house. You probably already know which room you're in. You're sitting down on the best couch in the room. Maybe you're a floor person, you're on the floor. You've got a big, comfortable blanket on top of you. You're all snugged up. You've worked hard all week, and a new season of your favorite show just came out. You are so excited. You got a hot meal in front of you, your favorite drink. And just as you go to reach over to get the remote and press play, oh man, this is what you've waited for all week. You hear a knock on the door. That's weird. You're not expecting anyone. So let's say you just leave them there, because that's what I do. This person is insistent, they are not stopping knocking. So of course you're like, you know what, they're not gonna leave, they're gonna ruin my night. So you rip off your covers, you're kind of frustrated. It's at night in my head, So let's say you're crawling on the floor like I would because you're a little nervous. What if it's someone scary, or what if you just don't want to talk to them? So you're crawling to the front door. You look. Are you guys there? Yeah, that's right. You open the blinds and you see it's a stranger. This is so weird. But let's just say you open the door for the sake of the story. And so you open and you say, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And this stranger looks at you and they say, "Oh, well, I came all the way here to live with you. Can I come in?" No, there's no way in the world you are letting this random person in your house. You have no trust with them. There is no relationship built with them. This is just weird. But then they continue and say, "No, you don't understand. You might not know me, but I know exactly who you are. I follow you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I know what your mom's Facebook is because I'm a little creepy, okay? I know. I know what you ate for lunch because I watched it on your story. I was at a party with you last week. We have mutual friends. So can I come in and live with you?" No, you're not going to let this person come in your house and live with you. Now, everybody open your eyes. Were you guys there? Because I'm very imaginative. I love that stuff. What if I told you that you could be, that there is a chance that you could be that stranger to Jesus and you not even know it? You have no idea. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons and perform many miracles in your name?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" When I first read this verse, it scared me so bad because I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how these people could literally see Jesus move. They thought so clearly that they knew who he was and that there was still a chance that when they stood before him one day, when we all give an account for our life, that he could look at them and there was a chance that he could say he didn't know them. How do I know that's not me? And as I began to dive into God's word, and as he began to reveal to me his message for today, he pressed it on my heart that we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Not a relationship that has anything to do with our pastor, not an overflow of what they get from God in their intimate time on Sunday, not a relationship with God in our family, not a relationship with God and our friends. We go to Bible study every week. That's amazing. But what does your intimate time look like with the Lord? How often are you reading God's word? This is our eternity on the line. Do you know your Creator for yourself? Or is everything you hear, just like Eve, communicated knowledge? We have to know Jesus for ourselves. One of the things that Granger talked about yesterday was how our purpose is to glorify God. And when we begin to walk out in our purpose, that's when it gets exciting in this life. Like when I remember the moment that God broke me free from so much fear and comparison, and I began to walk and use the giftings that he gave me and that he activated when I fully surrendered to him. And when I began to walk in his will for my life and in my purpose to bring glory to him, my life got nuts because I began to see how God really does do the unimaginable and how he really satisfies like nothing ever does. But guys, we have to understand, and I had to understand in that moment, that in order for me to walk out in the purpose that God had over my life to bring him glory, I had to first know who he was. I had to know how he wanted me to bring him glory. I had to know the giftings he put inside of me that were only activated a relationship with him. I couldn't bring him glory by just knowing of who he was. I needed a relationship. You want to know something that blew my mind? Even the demons know who Jesus is. When he goes anywhere near them, when he went anywhere near them, they cried out in mercy and said, Son of God. They even know who he is. Knowing about who Jesus is will not get us into heaven. Only an intimate, changed, transformed relationship with him will. The second thing, no, seriously, God has a word for today, for me. The second thing that the Lord showed me in this is that Jesus says sin is lawlessness, right? So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says sin is lawlessness. So when Jesus says, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, oh guys, I want you to listen to this. Because this is the biggest lie that the enemy is using over our world right now and over so many of us to deceive us. When Jesus is saying, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And if 1 John chapter 3 is telling us sin is lawlessness, he's warning us of those of us that have been deceived into believing that we can live a life satisfying the desires of our flesh in blatant sin, which is anything contrary to what God's word says, and that we can still claim the identity as a child of God. We cannot do that. We have to choose. The enemy owns the fence. God is so serious about this in his word. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, this is what he says. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. God wants us to choose a side. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, it says, you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. Guys, I want to remind you that Jesus didn't die so that you can continue to live a slave to sin. He died so that you could be free in this life and in the life to come. Anything that we're not willing to give up, we are a slave to. The world wants us to believe that if we hold on to our own life, that that's freedom because you're in control. But it's not. It's deception. You're a slave. You will never know what true freedom is until you fully surrender to the Lord and walk in his purpose and his will for your life. If you guys are excited that God is a God that can set us free and that he sent his son Jesus to do that, I want to hear you make some noise for real. Because I'm excited. I am excited. One of the verses that I loved that Granger brought up yesterday was Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15, and this is what it says. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You want to know what I love about that? Is that he didn't care what culture was doing. He didn't care what his friends were doing. He didn't care what party they were going to. He chose. He made a decision. It didn't matter what anyone else did. He wanted to bring them with him, but he said, even if you don't, I'm going to. And that's who God's looking for today. Who will go all in for him? There was a rich man in the Bible that was faced with the same question, except instead of me talking to you guys, he was looking Jesus directly in the eyes during it. In Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, there's this rich man that sees Jesus. He knows about who he is. He's heard of the miracles that he's performed. And he's gained all of this, these riches and this success in the world. But the one thing that he can't obtain in his normal strength is eternal life. So he runs after Jesus to try to gain this thing. And this is where we start in chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. And honor your father and mother." "Teacher," this man replied, "I've obeyed all these commands since I was young." Another version says he asked, "What am I lacking?" Looking at the man, this man was looking in the eyes of Jesus. Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go, sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." I want to pause here because this was the most pivotal moment of this man's eternity, not just his life here on earth, where he'd spent his eternity, where he was looking at Jesus in the eyes, and to Jesus' genuine love for him. And he had a choice to make, just like we all do right now. Jesus has brought us here. He's looking us in the eyes, and he's saying, "You have a choice to make." Would he walk back to what he knew, what was comfortable, what built his kingdom, what the world says was success and value? Would he dare to lay that down? That would look crazy to people. He spent his whole life probably building this empire. Would he choose slavery? Because that's what it is. Or would he dare, this sounds crazy to the natural mind, to take a step out in faith and walk towards Jesus into something that was greater than himself, something that he couldn't see. He could see that. He couldn't see this. He didn't know it was on the opposite side of obedience. You never do with God. But would he dare to believe that a life with Jesus could satisfy like that couldn't? That what he had to offer was greater than he could ask, think, or imagine, like God's word says. And in that moment, this man made a choice, just like all of us will. And it says in verse 22, at this, the man's face fell, and he walked away sad, for he had many possessions. I can just see it, because I feel like I've been there before. I've been on the opposite side of faith where I just wanted to, but I couldn't. But that's a lie, you can. But he chose to walk back to what he could see, what built his kingdom, what wouldn't come with him when he died. It's a lie. What the world offers never lasts. It's never enough. You can't take it even. He chose slavery. I don't want to choose slavery. I want to choose freedom. What's crazy about this man is he knew who Jesus was, just like a lot of us. He had seen the miracles that he performed. He even had obeyed the commandments since he was young, as best as he could. But the one thing he was lacking was full surrender. We need that full surrender. Like I said earlier, and I'd ask you to ask yourself right now, anything you're not willing to give up to the Lord, you're a slave to, no matter how good it seems. You're a slave to it. You don't know what true freedom tastes like. I didn't know what true freedom tasted like until I truly laid down my life. Him who lays down his life finds it, right? Sacrifice, this world tells us, is a bad thing. There's always a contingency with God, right? In order to follow his plans for our life, we have to lay down things that we love. That's what the world tells us. But let me tell you what's true, because I've lived it. Is sacrifice is no longer a bad thing when you truly tasted and seen that God is good and that his freedom is unlike anything that this world has to offer. You don't want those things anymore because you realize you are bound. You were bound. You want that freedom. So ask yourself, I want you to be honest with yourself because only you can answer this question. What are your riches? What is holding you back from stepping out into full surrender with Christ right now? Full obedience and full freedom. Second Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord," I love this verse. This is one of my favorites. "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout all of the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." God wants a full commitment. And what's amazing about this is it changes our perspective and makes us realize that it was never about the riches for Jesus. He didn't care about the riches. He doesn't care about anything this world has to offer. He cares about the full surrender. And God can see what we can't see. And he realized that in order for this man and in order for us to walk into a supernatural calling that God has over our life, we can't take anything with us. We can't use our own strength. We can't manufacture anything. We need to be fully surrendered or we'll never be able to get there because it's a supernatural calling. We need a supernatural strength and anointing from. We have to give it up. We won't make it. We won't make it. We need God to fill every area of us to take us to where we're going. You don't want to miss it. What scares me about this rich man is that he missed it. Who knows what would have happened if he would have turned the other way? One decision, one encounter. Who knows what God wants to do in your life? One decision, one encounter that you're making today. We might have even been reading his name in the Bible by name, not about his failure, but about his faith. I want to be known by my faith. Does anybody else want to be known by your faith? I believe that God has brought us here for such a time as this. Because he's saying that now is the time to choose. Stop buying into the lie that you can live a double life. We can't. You might be able to fool people, but we can't fool God. We can't fool him. And we all come from different backgrounds, ethnicities, but we're all going to share the inevitable fate of standing before the Lord alone, not with our friends, our family, no ands, ifs, or buts. What did you do with your life? When we're knocking at that door, will he know us or will he not? That decision is up to us. So what will you choose? Will you choose to walk back into sex, drugs, alcohol, partying, gossip, bad relationships, friendships he's told you to lay down, what the world says is good, what only God is good? Maybe you've been needing a healing. Maybe you turn to crystals. Maybe it's witchcraft. Maybe it's a movie, TV shows, demonic forces that you're allowing into your life. Maybe it's gluttony. Only you know what it is. Or will you dare to step the other way towards Jesus? Into freedom. Believing in something greater than yourself. Not betting on everything and something that's not going to last when we die. but building something that will last, storing treasures in heaven, being a part of God's kingdom, his body, his story. True purpose and fulfillment and freedom comes through him and him alone. Is that worth it? I don't think that you think it is. I think you know it's not. And I believe the Lord's brought you here today because he's strengthening hearts all around this room that are ready to fully commit to him, that are over being bound, that are over being fearful. You know my fear. And you guys might think this is silly, right? But it's not. My fear was singing. For 10 years, I have not sang in front of anyone, including in church. I allowed the enemy to get into my mind. And to steal my worship from the Lord, for the Lord. Because I was worried what people thought about me. I was worried I wouldn't live up to the expectations of those around me. And I was a slave. I still am a little. But I'm over buying into the lie that the enemy's had over me, that I can give God my 95%. And that I'll still see him do everything he wants to do with my life. Because he wants a full surrender. He'll strengthen the hearts of those fully committed to him. I am deciding to be fully committed to him, to choose this day, to not care. And I want to know who's coming with me. Your fear is not too great. Your past is not too great. You did not mess up too bad for God to redeem you. Do you hear me? That is not my words. That is his words. He will clean your slate. Remember your sin no more. It says in his word, we can run boldly to his throne of grace. Why? Because we had a Savior that was tempted in every way we were. That secret temptation that you have, that secret sin, Jesus was tempted in it, but guess what? He had victory through it. And through him, when we accept him as our Savior, when he is our foundation, not us, not what this world says is valuable, we can have victory through it too, whatever it is. You have that choice today. So what will you choose? Will you choose the world? I don't think so. I believe the Lord's brought you here because you're going to choose Christ. But you make that decision. Don't miss it. Don't miss it like the rich man. Know what God could do with a life fully surrendered. You want to know. Nobody comes with you. So you know what? I'm breaking free. I'm going to break free. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm doing it. Because that's what you do. You feel the fear and you do it anyways. That's what my best friend tells me, so I'm doing it. Okay. I'm going to do it. Okay, here we go. God, this is for you.
I just want what you want.
Y'all, this is your breakthrough.
Here I am.
Sing it with me if you're here. Come on, guys.
I want you.
y'all, that was 10 years of fear broken off me right there. Seriously.
That's awesome.
And I feel free. This is what freedom feels like. I would have never known. But in one moment, God broke it off. And guess what? Doesn't matter how long you've held on to whatever you're holding on to, one moment can change everything. God can break it off. Doesn't matter how many times you almost broke it off. You did, and then the enemy threw you right back and said, this time won't be different. This time was different for me. I'm choosing that. Yeah. Choose it. Before we end this session and go into this amazing panel, oh my gosh, guys, I'm so excited to listen to this panel. I do believe that the Lord has brought you here because he has strengthened your heart to fully commit to him. And I don't want to miss out on this moment. If you've never fully, fully given your life to the Lord and lived for something greater than yourself and dared to do what so many, like Jesus says, won't, this is your moment. God is rising an army, and he's brought you here to be a part of it. It's true. He told me that. But nobody wants to go on the battlefield with anyone that's not fully committed. I don't. He doesn't. So fully commit. I believe you can do it. And how I love how this story ends with the rich man. In verses 26 and 27 of Mark chapter 10, it tells us that the disciples heard this, and Jesus goes on to say, like, it's nobody can enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's like impossible. It's so hard. And it says this, that the disciples said, it says, and they were exceedingly astonished. And they said to him, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man, it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Jesus knew in this moment we couldn't do it ourselves, no matter how much this man thought that he, you know, lived up to all the commandments. He didn't. It proved. He chose worldly things over loving the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. But what Jesus is saying in this is he knew that all along. He was just saying that he knew he was going to die. We needed a Savior. And he was that Savior. And through that Savior, we have the power to be broken free from everything and then stay free. We can stay free from it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God or access the plans he has for your life. Faith is our part. We take that step towards Jesus. Freedom is all him. Freedom is all God's part. In Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 24, it says, for all, not one of us, all, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, if this is your moment that you've made a decision in your heart to choose to follow the Lord fully, doesn't matter if you've done it before, this is your decision, fully committing to him, not looking back. You're not going to miss it. It says in his word, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that's you today, let's make that decision together. Break free. Okay? If that's that decision, I just want you to pray this prayer after me. It's not a prayer that gets you saved. It's what this says. We're going to believe in faith, and we're going to proclaim together because there's power in that. So everyone in this room, proclaim this together. Y'all ready? Dear Heavenly Father, God, we choose Jesus today. We will not walk into what this world tells us is valuable. but we declare that Jesus is the Savior of our life. We believe in our hearts that you rose him from the dead. God, today I fully commit to you. God, be glorified through me. Use everything you've given me, Lord, for your purpose. God, I thank you for saving me, for changing me, continuing to change me, and making me more like your son. God, your plans are better. Your ways are higher. And I believe it. Here I am, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So awesome. If you made that decision today, it says there's a party going on in heaven for you. How crazy is that? I kind of wish I was there, but this is a good second.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today and tuning into the Keep It Real podcast. I do want to say before you guys leave that my biggest hope for today's message is not that you're just encouraged by it, but more than that, it says in God's word that faith without works is dead, which means that we can feel the presence of God, that we can have faith, but if we're not putting that faith into action, it's dead. There's no point to it. So more than an encouraging word, I want today to be the day that you decide to kickstart your relationship with God, to actually take an action step and step out into faith, into the areas he's called you into today. All those things that he's stirred up in your heart aren't just there to be put under a lamp, aren't just there to be hidden, but they're there because God has put them inside of you to be brought to the surface and to impact all of those around you and win more souls for his kingdom. It is such an honor to be able to be used in God's story. And I believe today he has called you to make a choice and to never look back. So I'm super excited for what he has in store for your life. And I can't wait to see what he has in store for all of us as he's bringing us together for his purpose for such a time as this. Through him, we are more than victorious. Through him, we have confidence. Through him, we are fulfilled, we are satisfied, and we are purpose-filled. Also, it would mean the absolute world if you guys would partner with me in sharing this message to the ends of the earth, whether it's leaving a review, liking, subscribing, sharing this podcast with a friend. I cannot do this without you. God ultimately is in control of everything, but he uses the body, he uses his people. And so I would encourage you guys, if this message touched you today, share it with as many people as you can so that we can impact everyone and share God's word for this season all around the world. I love you guys. You're amazing. You're chosen by him. There are great plans for your life. And I will see you guys next time.